Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We are pre-recording these episodes. So we were at the Super Bowl last weekend. But and it was great.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
Oh man, right?
What an experience.
Remember when the ball went in the stands and you caught it?
I caught it with one hand.
Does that ever
like
happen?
Highlander.
Does that ever happen? Does it ever go into the stands?
I guess if you're sitting in the end zone and they kick it over the field goal net, or sometimes the dopey guys don't lift the field goal net quick enough and it's going up and going up, and then the ball goes through and over.
Do they get to keep it?
You get to keep it. And then on rare occasions, a guy will score a touchdown and he'll throw the ball in the stands. And I think they get fined for that. But
what a nice
you just
got to
let your passion take over.
I love when I see those clips of like LeBron or something giving his shoes to a fan, but they always take out the inserts first because those things are like custom made and expensive. I asked Chris, I'm like, that's so nice they do that because they don't want them to like smell. And he's like, no.
No, they're super
it's because
expensive.
They're custom inserts.
There's this commercial. It was a Mahomes commercial. Every commercial these days is Mahomes Andy Reid, Travis Kelce. There's those are the three, which they did win the Super Bowl last year. So that's fair. It's just very convenient that they're in the Super Bowl again because all the commercials they made last year apply.
Oh, so you're saying it could be an inside job. Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't the NFL have it in their best interest to get the Chiefs all the way when they have made $360 million off of Taylor Swift being at their shows? Why would not they want the Chiefs to then make it all the way? I mean, how would you even fix a game, though?
I didn't realize that this was a Tucker Carlson episode because it's exactly
yeah, this
what
is
he's
the
saying.
Biggest conspiracy
this
theory.
This is the
everyone's
Republican
talking about.
Conspiracy theory.
Well, I don't think it has to do with Biden, although, but I just think it has to do with I guess the NFL is probably tied into.
I want to just piggyback on Nikki's question to Brian, because from what I heard, and this is even like before this whole movement, I have a friend who's skeptical about it, and he told me that wrestling and football are designated as sports entertainment, which is why the outcomes can be, I don't want to say
it. I didn't
it.
Hear that about football. I know that about wrestling, but
like,
I didn't hear
like
that about
WWE
football.
Wrestling? Like,
yeah. Not like
yeah, we
wrestling.
All know that is like kind of predetermined and a theatrical performance at this point. I feel like we know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting that football is under that.
It would be so hard to pull off. Title. That's what I'm like.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I think too. Like, how would it even be fixed?
Oh,
like,
God,
Ryan?
To fix football? But let's just be clear to the besties out there who are listening to this basically in like April of 2025 that this is, we're talking about the Super Bowl that happened like 6 weeks ago. But
no, it was last week, I think, is when this airs.
Week.
But we have not gone to
like
it yet. We are pre-taping
ago.
These episodes
we don't
because
know
I
what
am
happened.
I am traveling to Australia right now.
It was a tight game. Also, by the way, the Niners and the Chiefs, who played in the Super Bowl last week, did you know that the Niners and the Chiefs played in the Super Bowl 3 years ago and the Chiefs won?
Oh, no,
so
I did not know that.
The fact that this is some kind of setup where they had to bring the Chiefs and the 49ers together for maximum...
Wasn't it 2020? Like, wasn't it like the election year? It was 4 years
ago?
Yeah,
well, the Super Bowl is in the February after the season.
Yes, got it. It's the 2020 season, though. Got it.
Yeah, so while Trump was president, the 49ers and the Chiefs were in the Super Bowl in 2020, the election year. So to say that now they brought the Chiefs and the 49ers into the Super Bowl again to get Biden elected makes no sense.
Well, I don't even know how those would be connected, and I really don't care to know because it's just a waste of my brain space.
It's insanity, yeah.
I don't want to hear about it. I just don't care. But I do think it's just, well, I mean, it could also be, you know, how I don't think that anything is just like, wow, it was meant to be. It could also be that Taylor Swift is attracted to the most talented person on the most talented team. And therefore, that's why she's attracted to him, because she's the most talented person in her field. So why wouldn't they win? Because she's attracted to someone who's talented. And so, yes, the talented person gets far. It like might not be this, you know, like covert plan. Yeah, no. It's just it all makes sense. Like, yeah, he's good. So
I think Travis Kelce is probably the best tight end to ever have played the game. But to say that he's the most talented person on that field is not top five.
Okay. Well, he, really on the field?
Yeah.
That day.
I mean, between both teams, I think Patrick Mahomes, I think Christian McCaffrey, mm-hmm. I think Nick Bosa, I think Fred Warner. I think all these guys are probably equal or better to Travis Kelce.
But I think Travis Kelce is the best in commercials. Although Andy Reid, the Chiefs
Andy
coach,
Reid
is really funny in that chicken fingers one.
Yeah, these
but
nuggies.
The one commercial where he's talking about, well, Mahomes is with a foot long sub and then a foot long cookie, and he's like, it's the best pairing ever I could ever imagine. It's the best duo. And Travis Kelce, like, he looks over and Travis Kelce's just looking so sad. That is, that face he makes is so funny. It's so good. Man,
he does a good job playing that sidekick.
If I were Taylor, I'd be like, babe, you killed that.
Yeah.
I would be so proud of him. Because it's really nice when your partner does something as a comedian, really comedically, like next level. So I guess if I wasn't Taylor, if I was me and I was dating him, I'd be like, whoa, you just like did something in my field that is like really impressive to me. Like Chris told me this idea he has for the thing he's working on right now last night. And it was like this really creative, funny idea. And it got me horned up because I was like, that's like you're stepping into my world and I like it.
His
and like
idea
you
was
came,
so good.
Yeah, it was really
that it
good.
Got you horny.
Yeah, but he's in LA and I'm here, so it's easy for me to be like, I'm horny because I don't have to do anything about it. I just get points for if you were here, I would have had sex with you, but I can't. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh.
This is 39. So, I got, I'm wearing a Besties shirt. It says, I'm in my Besties era, Nikki Glaser podcast, and it has all these stars on it that have each one is Taylor Swift's different album, which there are 10 of them, but now we know there's only going to be 11 coming up April 19th. I really appreciate it. These two guys made this shirt for me. I forget their names, but they were in Fort Pierce, I believe, and it was really, really nice, and they got me one, and they were both wearing them, and they were so sweet. Oh, or maybe so Daytona. Cute. It was wherever I was last time. So thank you so much for those, and I'm wearing it, and it's so cute.
Fort Pierce, a beautiful town filled with all sorts of beautiful people. They love drinking canned beer out of coolers in parking lots in Fort Pierce.
Yes. Oh, were people tailgating before your shows?
No, they were tailgating.
No, they were just kind of like in the streets.
Yeah, they just like drink in the streets and play music in the street. I don't really remember what Fort... Oh, yes, I do. It was kind of like... really run down until you get right into where the theater was we were playing, and then it's like really pretty.
There are lots of really dark abandoned parking lots with large men all circling a cooler drinking beers at night.
What a life.
Yeah,
that sounds great to me. I really want that for myself.
To go to the parking lot?
Yeah, like every night you have someplace to go. It reminds me of high school when we would always go to Starbucks at Barnes & Noble. every single night, and you would just go there and you'd get a chai tea latte and you would read the books and like flirt with boys and work on your homework. And it would just be in this cafe area. And it was just a place to go to every night. And then you'd go outside and watch Doug Reese smoke by the bike rack. And you would just like hang out with him while he smoked, even though like you wanted to smoke, but you're too scared to. But you would just flirt and then you'd go home. And it was just a thing you did every night to hang out. And there's just nothing like that anymore unless you drink. So I guess, wait, the drinking is involved with this Fort Pierce hang, I'm guessing. But there's, if people don't drink, there's nowhere to just go and hang with.
But I think there's more to that than just the hang. I think it's about a community. When you, I think we all are searching to revisit our high school experience in that there's like a community of people where everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, I was just going to say not all of
us. Noah does not want to get back to high school at all.
No, without a doubt. Noah, you just don't realize you want it so bad. That's why you're having a baby, because like you want a community of people you see every day. You just want to see the same people again and again.
Yeah, babies do bring community.
You're right, yes.
Yeah.
Babies do. Like, you meet new people through having a baby.
School. You're going to send them to school.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to meet parents through that. You'll, like, make friends through a baby. Babies do bring community. It also brings isolation. Yeah. Let's not forget that.
Well, the main desire is just is to, like, redo my family and just, like, have it the way I want it.
Yes.
Not the way I was forced to have it.
God, if my parents die, I will get pregnant, like, over like at my dad's funeral. I think I don't because I think that's why I don't have kids is because or want kids is because I'm just like I have my parents, like they're so good enough. I don't need I love them so much. I don't need to I don't feel that desire to do that. But I keep thinking if they died, I don't know what I really want advice from people who's lost a parent or parents, because I don't because I don't want to think about it. It's something that's like, do you prepare yourself for it so that when it comes, you can handle it better? Or do you just live like it's never going to happen because it's going to happen anyway? And you don't want to think about it until it does, because why dwell on something that you can't help that's going to be inevitable?
You know,
or do you just kill yourself before they die?
You know how we go through. Yeah. What'd you say?
That's how I feel about going to France. I just don't want to think about it until it's over. It's already happened.
Wait, are you going to France?
Potentially, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I know your joke about that. Yeah. I love that. That's the way I feel about Australia, which is where I am now. Yeah. As this podcast is being
taped. Look at that kangaroo out your window. That's pretty cool.
Oh, timey kangaroo down sport.
Do you have any plans?
I'm so nervous. What was
for
that?
Australia? Like any, like, besides the Taylor Swift show, anything? You're looking forward to
I'm going to see Taylor Swift in Melbourne and
Sydney.
Go to
Halls Gap.
Want to go see Matchbox 20, but they're playing 30 miles outside of Melbourne the night I land. Or the,
where?
The,
which direction?
I land the morning, and then I don't know which direction. Probably in east. I don't know.
Are you going around Australia or just to like one part?
Just staying in Melbourne. And then we have a wedding in Lorne, L-O-R-N-E, like Lorne Michaels.
Lorne Michaels,
and then
yeah.
we have, and then I'm flying to Sydney to go see Taylor, and then we skedaddle. But I'm just stressed about preparing for Australia because it's nearly 2 weeks, and
Jesus
I just don't know how
Christ
people pack
almighty.
For this
Two
shit.
Two fucking weeks?
I don't know.
Dude, it's 10 days. I don't even know how people...
Yeah.
I don't
well,
like to re-wear
too,
jeans, and like I don't like... I like things to be like tight when I put them on, and like and I smell... I think I make things stinky fast. I can't re-wear things, like a shirt, more than once. Shirts, once. So I need at least 43 shirts, because I feel like each day I don't know what if I don't want to wear one of the 10, like I
That's
can't
it,
figure out each
Nikki.
Day like I definitely know I need to wear this
you
shirt.
Say each day with an Australian accent
die.
Even in an
each
American
die.
Accent
yeah I don't know what to do. I know that I'll just bring literally 43 shirts.
Do laundry 1 week in, chop it in half
or get it done.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably do
if you're in
that's
Melbourne.
Yeah, it's not like
time.
I'm going to some Aboriginal tribe.
You know
no,
what? You can
not,
always
not
buy
anymore,
stuff,
anyway.
Too.
Yes, I can buy stuff. But I hate shopping. I only shop online. I do not go to stores. It depresses me so greatly because of the consumerism, the amount of things. Then I have to go in the dressing room. I see a side of my body that will literally make me want to throw myself off a building. But then I stop and I go, I don't want to throw myself off a building, because then an autopsy person will see my naked body and I'm too ashamed. So then I'm in this weird limbo where I have to keep living in my body that I hate. Because I literally had that thought. I was like, I am so disgusting. I want to die. And then I go, but then they would have to do an autopsy and they would see my fucking flat, fat ass. and I just couldn't handle it. This was the last time I went shopping. That was in September, and I haven't gone back since. I do not like shopping in stores. If I try something on, it will be over my clothes in the main area. I'll wear like tight enough clothes that I can put them on over. Mm-hmm. I will not step foot in a dressing room. I will not have someone assist me. Like that woman asking about your sister sizes. I would never, ever allow that. I would just guess, buy a, like Chris actually did it the other day when we were planning for the Grammys party. He went to the store and came home with $4,000 worth of clothes because he didn't feel like trying them on. And I was like, yes, this is my man, because I don't want to try them on there. It's weird pressures. You are suddenly getting advice from this person you just met who you have no idea if they have good style or not. And it's just, you're on your own. The lighting is horrific.
You go out there, you say, how does this look to a person?
Or the mirror is skinny and it's lying to you. You can't trust fucking anything out there. And so,
a fun house of lies.
The idea of like, someone even said that to me before you said it, Noah, of like, you can just buy something there. And I'm like, thinking of shopping in Australia. And I don't know if I just... and projecting, I don't think projecting is the right word, but I feel like I've been to Australia before and everyone's so put together there. Everything's like clean fabrics. Yes, like all the women are like really smooth hair, but it's simple. You know, like there's not a lot of accessories. They wear like chunky sweaters and they're always like, they always look like right out of a J. Crew catalog. Everything fits perfectly, but it's a little slouchy and comfy. There's not like, They just don't look stained like I do.
I did not experience this, the same thing you're experiencing.
Really?
You went to Australia?
I went to Australia. I went to Melbourne and I went to Tasmania and I climbed Cradle Mountain and I almost died. But I did it. I got to the top and I was rescued.
Why'd you almost die?
Oh, I went by myself. I was with my dad. It was a trip with my dad. We went to Australia and he didn't want to climb Cradle Mountain. He's 70. And I went up there by myself.
I had that excuse.
It was a little bit too difficult for me. And the reason I wanted to do it so bad was because I know a guy from Tasmania who said I should do it and it was easy. And then I watched a YouTube video and there was a Australian guy reviewing the climb. And in the video...
The Miley Cyrus song?
Yeah, he was reviewing the climb. He reviewed Wrecking Ball.
He said it's easy to listen to.
Yeah, he said it's all easy to listen to.
You didn't watch the
video. I listened to it. I almost died. I climbed, they said in the video, they said, this mountain is an easy climb if you're Australian, but if you're American, you probably shouldn't try it.
Whoa.
And so
that's
I took that personally and I was like, well, I'm going to go fucking do this mountain.
It's a challenge.
I'm going to take a picture on top and then I'm going to come back to this YouTube video and comment. Well, I'm American and I did it. I was American. I did
do
it.
What do they mean by that? Like you, Australians are just climbing shit all the time?
Yes.
They learn.
They love parkour.
Repelling.
Apparently they are because I was climbing this mountain and Australians, there wasn't that many people when I was doing it, but Australians were basically like Spider-Man lapping me and laughing at me.
You seem like someone who would really struggle doing, like, I can't picture you physically going up a mountain, even though I know you're pretty adventurous. Like you seem like someone who...
It's not like rock climbing, like where you have a harness.
Hiking,
it's like scrambling and then like, it's like, it was really steep scrambling.
What's scrambling? Just, is it called scrambling? Cause you're just like going side to side.
Scrambling is what I do in my career. No, it's just kind of like you're climbing, without using a harness because you don't need to go like sheer cliff straight up.
Okay.
I can show you, I'll pull up a picture during the break. I can show you a picture of what it looked like, but
okay.
I almost died and there was like people from Australia.
Why? Like, cause you almost fell or you were just like exhausted, like almost died.
Yeah. Both of those things happened. One time I fell and like, these are my legs and I fell like a cartoon in between a rock. Like,
oh man,
it was so scary. Cause I was standing there trying to climb and then like the bottom leg just kind of slipped off.
Fuck.
And I went, oosh.
Why do this? Because someone on the internet told you, like, did you get up there and like take in the sights and learn something about yourself?
He did it for America.
I did it for America.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Why would you ask that?
I planted an American flag on the top of the mountain. I pushed over the Australian sign and I planted an American flag and I claimed the mountain. Well, actually, I went up there and there's two guys from China up there.
Okay.
And so they got there first and they took my picture and I said, thank you. And then they left and then I was alone on the top of the mountain contemplating going back down.
Yeah, did you feel a huge sense of accomplishment? Would you do it again? Like, was it
worth it? No, it's never worth it. Doing anything is not worth it, I think.
Are you being serious? Like, it really wasn't worth it?
No, not
then
worth
why
it.
Why do you continue to do these things? Yeah, like, why you still did it make like your to do stuff
There's
like this,
There's a certain
right?
level of scrambling that I enjoy that's not death-defying, that I'm like, that was fun.
Right,
I love
okay.
that. This was like, I risked my life on my own in Tasmania for no fucking reason other than to just comment on a YouTube video. The view was nice.
He was right.
Well, he was. Yeah. So on the way back down,
you just thumbs up.
There are these people who I was going back down, and going back down is always harder than going back up. You have to remember that. Going back down's harder.
Why? Because you are like loosed up and you it's don't have
easier,
the energy.
It's easier to climb up because you're just pushing yourself up than to right. figure out ways to go down. A lot of times when you're going down, you can't even see where you can put your foot.
Right.
You know, it's like down below you.
You're using your arm strength and your leg strength. When you go down, you're just kind of like balancing everything on your knees and your thighs.
You know what this appeals to me is doing it alone, because I think that's part of hiking and like doing outdoor stuff that I can't get behind because I'm fast.
Yeah.
And I want to get through it to say I was like, that's the only reason I would want to do these things is to like accomplish it and then go home and be like, okay, now I can really like sleep and lay on the couch a lot because I just did this thing. And I feel like people are slow and I would just want to go fast.
I think you would like that. I think you would like some solo hiking.
Me too.
Hiking.
Okay. But then, but what about the raping?
There's not a lot of raping.
And murder and...
No, that happens in like...
I have like a bear spray.
Yeah. Okay. If you're going fast, you're much less likely to get raped.
I do know I need more sunlight. Like Andrew Huberman, like every clip I see of him is talking about sunlight exposure and you're supposed to get up in the morning like with the sunrise and like look at it. But then I have no idea how to do this without aging my face because there's also that like every other clip is like you need sunlight exposure. And then it's like SPF is important. Don't get wrinkles. It's like you're getting mixed messages. How are you supposed to get sunlight exposure? Will Bestie please write me about sunlight exposure? And I hear that he says sunlight lamps in your house are not the same. So I don't know what to do, but I think I need
some more of
that.
And you can't wear sunglasses.
And you can't wear sun. Well, then you're supposed to stare at the sun.
No, you just go outside with just the natural light and have your eyes absorb it.
And like, but you're supposed. He says you're supposed to like bask in it, which means like face it and look at it.
You could also take vitamin D supplements.
I do take vitamin D supplements, but I hear that's not enough. Same. I need to know. Do you do this, Noah? Do you go sunbathe? Do you like sit out in the sun?
I don't do it now because of melasma.
Okay.
Because my hormones are crazy.
Yeah. That's Trump's wife?
Yeah, I hang out with her all the time.
What, your hormones make melasma worse?
Well, yeah, during pregnancy. So, I mean, I should. Let's just say I should go outside more, even for 10 minutes in the morning, where the sun is not as strong as in the afternoon.
Yeah, I need more of it. If any besties have any kind of advice on how to do this properly or a YouTube video, because I've looked into it and it's everyone's telling you different things. I need some concrete. Here's what you do, Nikki. This is the simplest way to do it without aging your face. Chris told me that I could just do my back and just have a hideous back. And I was laughing so hard because he said I could have a hideous back because that is, thank you for acknowledging that the sun will make whatever you have the sun on hideous. Okay, we gotta go to break. I'll be right back with this.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Yeah, I need more sunlight exposure, I guess. And I've just been, I've been feeling pretty down recently. And so I've been obsessively watching these YouTube videos of this girl that I've already talked about. Her name is Hannah Yuri or something. And she does trauma-informed yoga or trauma. Yeah, something trauma-informed. I don't even know what it is. Someone, a bestie or someone wrote to me recently being like, I'm so depressed. I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I can't handle this. And I was like, all I know that makes me feel better is watching this girl speak gently to me. And you don't even do the yoga she's describing. You just listen to it and it feels so calming and so soothing. I literally listen to like 5 hours of this girl a week. And she has one that's like for the hips and she talks like this and everything is her teeth. Like she'll say like it, the, like guitar, lighting, like everything that she says is enunciated so perfectly. I'm obsessed with her voice. I can't recommend it enough. I am so obsessed with it. It's truly my life recently.
Do you just
watching this girl.
Watch the videos or do you do the yoga along with her?
No, I just put it next to my head and I put on my sleep mask. And I listen. I do not do any of it. But you could do it and it would be amazing. And the comments underneath the ones. So it's called Trauma-Informed Yoga Hips, yeah. Releasing Stored Trauma. And all the comments are like, I cried so much. I released so much stress. I have released so much stress. Like people are like giving her donations because they can't believe how much this released so much stuff for them. I don't cry when I listen to these because I'm not doing the exercises. But her voice is just so fucking soothing. It's Hannah Yuri, trauma-informed yoga teacher. It's so gentle and soothing. I can't even, it's so nurturing. I don't know what I would do without it right now. Like I am like obsessed with it because I'm just like, man,
that's great.
Life has been hard.
The more that I hear about stuff like that, if it was 10, 15 years ago, I'd be like, that's such bullshit. That trauma bullshit, yoga bullshit. I would hate that. But the more I live, the more I realize that stuff like that works. And especially if it works for you, it's like, it's great.
Yeah.
I actually believe that it works.
Yeah. Because now you know, Brian, because you know all about how like stress stores in the
body. The body keeps the score.
Body keeps the score and like all of your pain is pretty much just like your brain's anguish redirecting things that it can't handle from your childhood or from whatever. It doesn't have to be that traumatic, but it's just like rerouting it to weak parts of your body. Then it like beats the fuck out of those nerves, but it's like your brain doing it and it's all, yeah, it's all connected. When did you realize that? And did it take you a while to like believe it?
Well, it's just, you know, all the things that I've gone through in terms of like a chronic pain, the things that actually cured it were generally mental, and it takes you a while to get to that point where you accept that as your fate. And I know people who have not accepted that as their fate and they resist and they just struggle and suffer when the answers are right before them.
Well, I have to say that one of our friends who was experiencing horrible back pain, remember?
Oh, I remember.
Well, he got surgery and now it's
no!
fine.
What?
But it's fine.
Yeah. Let's just wait 6 months.
Yeah, I know it'll come back because it again, like surgery is the mental because
hopefully he's not listening to this, but
he's not.
Great. So you get the surgery and then you're right. The placebo happens and you feel like, oh my God, that did fix it. And then 8 months later, another stressful event.
8 months later, you start working on F-Boy Island 3 and you get stressed out again because
you
can't corral
the... I said under no circumstances should you get surgery.
Why would he listen to you?
I don't know, because I was so adamant.
I know. It was
his conviction.
True. He was out of options. I know he wasn't. I sent him the book, Healing Back Pain, but he wouldn't read it. Because people just don't want to believe it's in their head. They want to believe a scalpel.
Everything's
in
their head.
Don't
you see? Everything's in your head.
Because, I mean, I can't believe my whole family, my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother-in-law, none of them have ever been to therapy. Ever.
Oh,
it is so fucking wild.
It
dawned on me the other night. I was like, you guys have never gone? Like, how do you think you are just fine? Like, why do you go to the doctor then? Why do you work out? Why do you read books to learn more? Like, do you think that you have all the information about yourself figured out and that you alone can solve it all for yourself? Like, I just don't. And people go, I don't have the money. I have offered to pay for them to go. There's just no interest. Why? Because they're scared that it might mean what is the fear? I truly cannot understand it.
They just don't believe in it.
What's there to not believe? I don't
understand.
There's
one person that goes to therapy and she's very well adjusted and wonderful. But everybody else, like, they just don't understand it.
What, am I going to talk to somebody for 40 minutes and pay them $200?
To hear their opinions. Like, they think a therapist just gives opinions.
That's the kind of therapist
I
like. Or
some people believe that if you go to a therapist, then you're crazy. It's for crazy
and
people.
And that, yes.
I'm not crazy. I'm
it's
fine.
A when are all thing. The people that believe that going to die? Like, I know that's like a
Soon.
Leftover thing from...
Wait, you just said you don't want them to die. You said you don't know what you're going to do.
No,
she's
okay, that's
true. Baby.
I want all of them to die except my parents. But
not my parents.
And wait, sorry, not yours either.
Anyone that we know, or that anyone that we know
yes.
knows,
or besties, anyone that you guys love. But if you don't love them, I hope they die.
Oh, that would be so great. Now I'm on board. That'd be so great if everyone
it's
else
so funny
died.
To say,
those people.
I hope someone dies because it doesn't. And people go, "That's so mean." It's like, well, it's gonna happen. No
dreams
one's avoided
will come
it.
True eventually.
Yeah, it's always gonna happen. I know I talked about this in my special that's not released yet. But I truly forget I'm going to die sometimes. Oh, sorry. I don't mean to trigger you, Brian. I know you don't like to talk about this. Let's change the subject.
Death.
Let's change the subject.
My least favorite thing.
I know, but we all
something.
Have to do it. And like, it.
I'm not going
to
do it.
I remembered
it.
This morning I have to die. And I really was like, oh, fuck. Like,
yeah,
whoa,
oh, that feeling.
Like that, just that feeling of like, oh my God, like I'm not going to, I don't get to opt out of this. Like, I feel like. Most decisions in like getting married or having kids, like these big life moments, you get a choice of whether you can do them or not as a woman in the modern world. Like those used to be as imminent as death. Like you're gonna have a baby because if you don't want to, we'll just rape you and make you keep it. Like there was no choices. I just saw Poor Things last night, so I'm filled with like what women were supposed to be and what what we're made to be and how suppressed we used to be. But I can't stop seeing images of Emma Stone's bush, which I saw upwards of 32 times in that
what?
Film. Just time out for a second. Poor Things.
Yeah.
Emma Stone was amazing. Mm-hmm. No question about it. Amazing performances. Mark Ruffalo, so, so funny.
Love
Rami.
Ruffalo.
Was so good in his like break for me. I've seen, you know, obviously he had the show, his show Rami, but
Rami.
he was so good in it as well. All the performance is great. Did I care for it? my mom and I almost walked out a couple times, and it got to the point where I was like, is it going to be, we should walk out, cause this is funnier if we walk out than if we finish it. Like I literally don't care about how this ends. Yeah. I'm not invested in this. I got a little invested about 10 minutes. There was 10 minutes left. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes long. Too long. Too long.
Oh, yeah. Why do they do that? 90 minutes.
I get
minutes.
It when it's just Killers 2 hours of the Flower Moon.
Only 30 like, views of the bush.
Dude,
I want 50
there
bush
is
views.
No, tell me the difference.
25 per hour minimum.
Poor Things. Please, someone who's seen Poor Things. Porn I want things. You. Exactly. Tell me the difference between what we saw Emma Stone do and what pornographic actresses do. Tell me the difference.
I'll tell you the difference. How much they're getting paid.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Bam.
And one is scripted and the other is also, lightly they're both scripted. Acting. Yeah, they're both acting.
The porn's not WGA though. So
and you could say, yeah, you could say the
they don't have
the stuff
minimums.
That Emma Stone is doing is art, but why? And because no one's gonna jerk off to it. I beg to differ. Yes, they will.
We're all
yes, they
off.
Will. There's so many sex scenes in this. There's so many dicks. Uh-huh. There's so many, you see her bush, you see her tits, you see her ass, you see everything. You see her getting railed in every different way.
People are jerking off to Emma Stone movies when she's not naked.
Yeah, I just, no, this is no shade because as you know, I love porn actresses and I feel like they should be able to float seamlessly between Hollywood and Bollywood and pornography. I want them to do it all.
Yeah.
But Triple I don't threat. Understand why this is different.
Yeah.
Because why?
It's art.
Because,
but I've been
why?
Watching Euphoria, which is an incredible show. I can't believe I'm so late to the game.
Wait, really?
Euphoria.
Season? Are you on the first season?
I just finished the first season of Euphoria. I had watched a few episodes.
I've never seen
it. Oh my God, the writing on Euphoria is so good.
I didn't like it.
But there
like
is
it.
A lot of naked, who they're playing teens? Teenagers. They're not teenagers in real life, but they're playing teenagers. And there's a lot of nudity in Euphoria. I think it's a thing these days. You gotta, if you know, people don't, the actresses of today don't seem to care as much about just being full nude in a show or movie. That's just what I'm viewing from Euphoria and from what you're describing in Poor Things. Because I remember in the 90s,
if
an actress ripped her tits out, it was like on Entertainment Tonight.
And it would kind of like define her career for so long. Like that was all people would kind of talk about.
Yes.
I mean, Sharon Stone in whatever that one is where she uncrosses her legs.
Oh,
do
yes.
you even single see pussy woman. Or is it just implied? Like I don't.
You go in the pussy in that one. You
no,
travel up the urethra.
Do you see lips? Because I don't think you do. Yet everyone assumes that she just showed full puss.
Yeah. No,
but I think it was
the implication
just a
implication of puss that got the country all horned up.
But I'm feeling bad for saying blowjob on stage in front of kids, and I'm being like treated like I can't believe you did that. Yet Emma Stone is having sex in every different position, completely nude. Which no judgment from me. Like it's fine. I just don't understand the difference. Why we shame
those same kids
that
write papers about Poor Things, and then
probably
Whereas,
like, people act like I can't be around their kids because of the content of which I speak on stage in a safe space where only adults are there. But Emma Stone gets to be on, like, have, you know, cover girl commercials. Like, she is, she gets to be on any commercial she wants. She can be
God
on any network. She can do, they won't let me on CBS anymore. ABC, these are family networks. And it's not like they won't let me on, but it's harder for me to get on those places because of the content of what I do. Yet she gets to do this film and still work. I just don't, not that I don't want her to work. I just want, the porn star that I, Carter Cruz, who I worked with, on the Burt Kreischer tour, she wasn't allowed to do their Daytona or their Dayton, Ohio date because the venue owner found out that she was a porn star and she wasn't doing porn in the show. She was just being a DJ. So why are some people forbidden from having sex on screen and it makes them a, they have to
pariah.
Wear a scarlet letter and a pariah, but then others are
pariah
like
Carrie.
Upheld for it. I just don't get it. I was watching this and my mom and I were just like, enough. We get it. She's a prostitute. Mm-hmm. She has to have sex with a bunch of different guys. It doesn't feel like we needed to see it. It felt gratuitous. But because it's like this film that's shot with a fisheye lens and has all these wacky colors and Willem Dafoe is in it, it's suddenly art Like, I just don't get it. What's the difference?
If Willem Dafoe's in it, it's art. Spider-Man, Green Goblin.
But then porn, if you watch porn, you're like a horrible person and you have to hide it from everyone that you saw it. But like, if you saw Poor Things, you're like a...
I was driving through Texas.
Philistine. I don't know what that word means, but yes.
It was one of the worst roads I've ever driven down. It was in southwestern Texas. It was close to the border. I drove through a town that looked like it was... like designed to look like a shitty town. And in this town, there was a drive-in movie theater. You know, like everyone knows what that is. Movie theater that showed porn.
Oh, what? Wow.
It showed porn. And the screen was facing the road. So you couldn't like see the screen, but it was showing porn. That's how crazy. Yes, it was showing porn. It was the,
how do
all
you
the,
know?
Because it said what movies are showing, and it showed ads, and it said XXX drive-in movie theater. We took pictures of it. This was two years ago.
I don't mind that, but it's. There's theaters you could go to and jerk off in. Weren't there those?
Why not have an outdoor one?
Right,
where you could be in your own sunlight exposure.
Yeah, and you're in your own car. That's actually better. You don't disturb anyone. Yeah. Can I talk about this for a second? Speaking of like disturbing people around you. So during the movie, I am texting Anya about how I'm not really sold on it. And I think it's like trying too hard to be kind of and artsy. But also I may be missing the points, much like I did it with May December. I was totally off about that one. Like everything I hated about it was good. Intentional. So Poor Things, it's not bad, but is it it's... Would I recommend someone see it? Sure. Yeah. Because I just want to talk to someone about it. I think there were good things about it. I give it a B plus, but it wasn't anywhere close to being something of like my favorite movie, but the performances were amazing. And Willem Dafoe in that movie, once you see it, besties, that's how I look in the mirror to myself. I said it to my mom. He appeared on screen. I go, that's what I think I look like. And she laughed so hard because it's like, it's just, he's like Frankenstein together. And I really do. And I feel like I do have like a structured face, but I feel like that grotesque most days when I wake up. And it was just a very clear indication of exactly how I feel I look. But okay, so I'm texting Anya. I'll just read to you what I texted because I want you to get the full idea of what happened here. And I want to get your opinion on it. Okay. So, okay. We got into it about, okay. So I said, have you seen Poor Things? She said, not yet, but want to. I said, I hate it. Okay. This is, what time was this? 8:06. So this was only 20 minutes in. Okay. That wasn't fair to say I hate it.
20 minutes.
This was 20 minutes. This is maybe 15 minutes in because it started at, this was an hour in. This was an hour and 5 minutes in. Okay. I mistake. This movie started at 6:45. That was at 8:06. And you know, you got to count for previews.
Yes.
She said, haha, really? Maria said, it's trying to be too weird. I said, it's just trying to be so cool. She said, should I skip it? Is Emma any good? I said, I want to hear what you think. She's really good, but it's just annoying. My mom hates it too. We want to walk out. And she goes, LOL, you're in a theater, Nikki, ! Ha, 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 ha. And I said, and I know what that's about because Anya does not like when people have their phones out in theaters, which who does? That's a very obnoxious thing to do. But can I just say, I said, yeah, my phone is nearly dark. Okay, I turned down the brightness all the way down. I said, it's literally disturbing no one. The man coughing behind me is way worse. There's this man going, every 2 minutes. He would like clear his throat with this really guttural cough that you could tell he was struggling and holding it in of the time. He wanted to do it way more often than he was. So when it did happen, it would just sound like Mount Vesuvius. It was horrible. I said, I'm in a row by myself, just with my mom. Okay. No one can see me. My mom doesn't care at all. My mom was literally sleeping. She fell asleep during it. Yeah. And I said, that's a dumb rule. And then she just thumbs down. The man coughing behind me is way worse. Do you think it is out of line for me to turn down my phone all the way? There's no one in my row. I'm keeping it very low. So literally, there's no one in front of me either. There's only people behind me, but they cannot see my phone because it is so low. And I'm holding it down by my waist, looking into it. No one can, I don't think there's no way anyone could see. If you know me, I'm not someone who does anything to be obnoxious around other people. Aside from talking openly about blowjobs on stage in front of kids, which I was horrified by when I realized I was doing it. I really don't like to be like, look at me talking loudly, brightness on my phone. Like, I'm so aware of how other people are around me. Do you think it's out of line? And why do we have to treat the movies so delicately? It's sacrosanct. The movies. You can't, like, why is it okay to open your phone on a plane that is totally dark in the middle of the night? Why is that not, like, shunned upon? But the movies, this is the cinema. People have this, you know, like, why is it so protected at the movies? What do you think?
Well,
about
because
this?
You go there for an experience. I think one of the reasons why you go to a movie is to be completely enwrapped in the movie. You have a giant screen. You have surround sound. It's dark, and you're also experiencing it with other people. And you, unlike when you're at home, you generally can't just get up and walk around and then come back to watch the movie.
Oh, I was dying to do that. I wanted to press stop on it to see how much longer it had in it. So many times.
I think if you want to do that, if you want to text or talk or cough like Mount Vesuvius during a film, you should just watch it at home, because these days you can, pretty much. And going to the movies should be a special experience where you're like, you wouldn't do that, say, at a live performance of something. I think it's a similar experience.
Yes, I would. If no one was going to see me and I'm only disturbing myself, literally no one,
but you
wouldn't do
that.
It if I was in a full row. Yes, I did know because
there might be people behind you who were like, I can see that light and it's bothering me.
There's no way they could
you.
Because I was holding it down by my waist. I know what physics are and I know like the angle at which people can see things. There's no way they could have seen.
You did the calculations?
No, but like I can kind of surmise there was no one in my row. If there was someone next to me, I absolutely wouldn't have done it. Or I would have put it inside my purse and like created a little referee.
I think we should do Mythbusters.
Tunnel?
There should be a Mythbusters episode about this where we get Nikki in a theater
and
with
a
phone.
My phone, even at full brightness where you could see it, is not as annoying as people opening their bags of Skinny Pop popcorn, because this place does not pop their own popcorn. They just sell you bags of Skinny Pop. And
wow.
People are opening those
That's
throughout
like your
the
dream.
Thing. And I know. And shoving it in their mouths and chewing loudly. And like, that's annoying too.
Yeah, no, it's all annoying.
So I just...
I was watching a movie once.
I was
time.
Really offended that she thought I was like someone who would purposely or just like, I don't care about other people's experience. It was literally bothering no one. There's no way.
Everyone's yes. existence is bothersome, and there's all sorts of things. It doesn't have to be noise or light. It could be smell. Like sometimes someone whips out a disgusting hot dog and it's like, I know that they sell those there, but it stinks like pig shit now in this whole theater.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't want to smell your stench.
But I just don't know why these have to be such sacred spaces. I would never really truly do something disgusting and annoying. If I had a chronic cough, I would not be going to the cinema. You know, like I'm not someone who ever wants anyone to be like, that girl over there is so like, I keep it tight, you know?
There was
so
one time I went
like
to a movie.
Of, Nikki!
That was that they did not treat it like a sacred space. And it was one of the best movie experiences I've ever had. I went to go see Raid Redemption, which is one of the best like Kung Fu Salat movies from Indonesia of all time. And I went to go see it at a theater that was in a predominantly black neighborhood.
Yeah, I know what
and
you're talking about.
I mean, there was 5 standing ovations during this movie.
It's amazing. That was my best experience too at King's Plaza.
Everyone was just yelling at the screen. There's
so
certain
you see
movies where that's great.
So I went with my brother's ex-girlfriend and she was like, just like unapologetically loud and obnoxious as is. Mm-hmm. And we went to King's Plaza and it was like a predominantly black audience. And we saw, I think it was The Conjuring. It was a movie about like a haunting. Yeah. And every time something would happen with a ghost, the whole theater would scream. And then there was one part where it was like a very suspenseful scene and my brother's ex blew her nose and it sounded like a giant fart. And the whole theater just like erupted. It was so fun.
That's so fun. Yeah, my dad and I still talk about when we went to see Me, Myself, and Irene. I mean, what year was that? 2003? And it was at in a predominantly black neighborhood. And
does that make is that weird? That we're like, is that like white tourism? Like,
no,
I
think it's very commonly known that black people talk in movie theaters.
But we're like we ventured into the black neighborhood to see the movie amongst.
I didn't say I ventured. It's not like I was like,
it was in my neighborhood.
You implied ventured.
Yeah, and I almost died, much like you on that mountain. No, it was just like.
I lived there.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we just, I was, we were on a mission trip, and so, no, it was just like where it was playing.
Yes. I don't want to sound racist, but I do believe that black audiences in comedy are far superior to white audiences. And I would love to
I wouldn't know. There's like two black people per show for me.
Oh my God. I mean, I've been on, you just got to watch. Like I was watching Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker. I was rewatching that.
Oh,
that was 1999.
Right.
That was at the Apollo. Mm-hmm. And he even says at the beginning of the show, white people up top tonight, which is hilarious. And that audience is just like having so much fucking fun.
Yes.
I mean, that special is maybe top five of all time. I mean, he just...
Which one was it?
Bigger and Blacker. Chris Rock's Bigger and Blacker.
Course.
Where he does gun control. We need bullet control. That one.
Yes. Yes. And
I'm just like, man, how nice must it be to be able to perform at the Apollo, to do your special at the Apollo in front of an audience that's just that reactive to everything you're doing. Whereas I don't think a wide audience, maybe, I don't know, is Bert Kreischer's show like that? Are they as wild and partying? What's the equivalent? What's the equivalent white crowd
drunk
having that good
drunk
of a time?
We have to get wasted.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. To
otherwise,
be that
we're on
free.
Our phone.
Yeah. What'd you say?
I said, otherwise we're on our phone, distracted.
Yeah, just, or just like
just
judging
phone,
and kind of just like, what?
Coughing. There's a lot of coughing in white audiences.
And just holding in your pee because you don't want to be called out. So it's just like people just anxiously thinking about how they have to pee so badly, politely laughing if you look at them. Yeah, we're so uptight.
Yeah.
I think that's what I get from it. But also the laughs that like my mom and I were laughing at, let me just say the right places in this show, in this movie, because some stuff was really funny. But like it just made me realize how easy it is to make people laugh. Like I think I talked about this before when I went to go see a certain comedy movie and I was just disgusted with my fellow man at how they laughed at every dumb thing. And I was like, oh, this is why sitcoms are as cheesy as they are, because it's so easy to make people go, whoa, she just said, the classic, like, he's right behind me, isn't he? Like, whoa, we've never seen that before. Like, just these jokes you've seen a million times and people are, it was nice to see people laughing that freely. Like, oh, they're not as cynical, because I guess I am, but there was really funny stuff in it, but no one was laughing at the parts my mom and I were laughing at. And I'm not trying to say we're smarter, but I think we were. And all the other parts, I was just like, man, I gotta like change the way I do comedy. It's easier than I think.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta go to break.
Okay.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease.
Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Okay, we're back. Final thought. I'm going to Australia. I think it's a 14-hour flight.
Oh, yeah.
Melby.
Are you going to Hawaii first, or is this full
straight
flight?
No, that would
be
nice. Drop me off there. No, I'm going, I think it's just straight there.
Damn, and from St. Louis?
Can't sleep. Dude, I bought it with miles. Yeah, I probably can. If I could, I really might do that. Chris will just be watching movies the entire time.
You should get up and walk around at least once during a flight that long.
Yeah, I will. Well, because I have to pee, you know. Mm-hmm.
You could open the window and get direct sunlight. Like, the sun will be right there.
Yeah. Apparently, the sun rays up there are really intense, and you're not supposed to do that at all because it's, like, cancer-causing for sure, because there's no, like, protection of the something. I don't know. They were just saying that, like, in the air, you should keep that window down. But you're right. I should get a little sun. That would be good. Yeah, I don't know what I mean, I love a long flight. The longer, the better. I know on these long flights, like when we went over to Europe, I would be like sad because it was only 7 hours. And I was like, I just want one more hour where no one can get me and there's nothing expected. I am a little nervous about like not being plugged into the, like not working and not feeling like I'm doing something every day that I'm
for
like
the whole
accomplishing
2 weeks
things.
You're saying, not just
for like 10 days. Yeah. The whole 2 weeks, like being over there and not having I could do some sets or something, but then, but then that turns into like, everyone's got to come see you, like all of our friends. And I just don't want that. I would just want to perform for strangers, you know?
You're going to come back from Australia and like Taylor Tomlinson's going to have another special out and
Ali
Wong's going to have another show on Netflix. And it's just going to be, what the fuck was I doing?
Stop. I don't even want those
I have
things,
a boomerang.
Though.
You know?
Yeah. I literally like made a boomerang of me just... I should do a boomerang with me with a boomerang.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like have the video. I wonder if that's been done.
Never. I don't think it's ever been done.
No,
especially
I guess
in Australia.
I'm not worried about other people accomplishing things because that keeps happening and I'm not getting anything. I've been in a constant state of depression for, I think, like 3 years. No, like 3 months now where it's just like I can't get out of it. And so I can't get things done at all. I was supposed to pick a tour name and pictures of myself from my tour. Like I had a photo shoot on December 20th and I was supposed to go through those photos by the new year and send all the new photos to the promotion team, have them make new posters. Let's rebrand my tour because I've had it called the Good Girl Tour for like almost 2 years now. And I'm going back to the same markets and they're going to be like, this is the same tour. And I'm like, no, it's not. So I just decided today I'm naming it Nikki Glaser Live. I don't want a name for the tour because I looked up tour names and I realized that everyone has like a good name for a tour, which is fine if you like really feel like that's what your tour is about. I'm always switching up my act. And so I don't feel like there's any one thing I can call it. And then I saw Bill Burr called his tour Bill Burr Live. And I'm just like, thank you. Like, I don't need it to be anything else. That just tells you what it is. You see a poster, you're like, that's her live.
That's cool.
Here. So I'm just doing Nikki Glaser Live because I was struggling the past 3 days trying to come up with a name. And I'm just feeling so disconnected from all of them. I went through even the Depression's Era tour, even though that fits so what my life is right now. I don't think that's a really good selling point. And I think she could get litigious and like sue me for it. And I think the Eras Tour is going to change. Like, I think making something based off of the Eras Tour. I maybe didn't even mention that I was going to do it, call it the Depression Eras Tour and like have all the same imaging, but just obviously with me. And I thought that was a really good idea. Bestie suggested it, I think, on an Instagram Live once. And I decided against that because if you don't know the Eras Tour, which is probably like 20% of America, 30%, you'll
not
like,
anymore.
What is this?
5% probably.
Yeah.
Especially if they're potentially going to go to one of your shows.
Yeah.
That's
0%. But I just also like, you are like, do you want to hear a girl talk about depression? Like, it just seems like it's just not good marketing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of it would be funny. The posters and stuff would be really funny. But if it's just on a marquee and you're like, what the fuck is that? Or you just see it listed on something, it just doesn't. say what it is. So I'm just, Nikki, you guys are live. I reviewed all these photos that I took in December yesterday.
I don't think any of those would have fit like a depression tour, Eras tour.
Oh, yeah,
tour
you
thing.
Saw them too. They were beautiful. I had Noah go through them first. Oh, boy. Mm.
I could have helped you, by the way. I mean, I picked the ones that I wanted for the podcast, but I could have picked more for you. But I love looking at them.
And everyone was like, yeah, have people look at them. I had my assistant Jen look at them. I had you look at them. But even if Jen sent me her faves, you sent me your faves, even if I saw those, I'd be like, there could have been better ones in there that they missed. Like, I can't just relinquish trust when it comes to like my face and my material to anyone else. Like if someone were to be like, Nikki, let this person edit your special for you, I still would be like, there might be things that I really like about, like I've never once had someone, like people always like pictures of me that I'm like, I've never seen a more disgusting photo of myself. You know, like I think we all can relate to that where someone's like, this is so you. And you go like, no, I look disgusting. And you just can't even believe anyone would think you look good in that. And you go, that's what I look like? No. So there was really just no way for me to have anyone do it but myself. And so I had to look through all of them. And it is so hard to model. Can I just say that? It is models. Do have a very, it just comes naturally to them, but like you have to have everything from your shoulders to your fingertips doing a thing that looks smooth and delicate. And it is truly impossible. I really want every woman in my life who is not in entertainment to have to do this so that they can relate to my struggle, because it's so not what I am cut out to do, yet I still have to do it. And it is so hard. I would say one out of every 100 photos was even usable, because sometimes my face would be okay, but then my hand would be doing some weird claw thing, or my shoulder would be bent forward, or like
Willem Dafoe in the movie.
It was a nightmare to look at them. And gratefully, I have enough space because it was December 20th. So now it's a month and a half later. And I'm like, oh, I've totally changed since then. And, but it was.
People are getting better at it too,
because
kids are just growing up having to pose constantly for photos. And I feel like they're just like learning the poses when it's like when they're 7, and it's going to be ingrained into their skill set forever.
I think I want to take a class. If there was like a class about how to pose in pictures and be a model, I would take it, because it's something I have to do frequently enough. And although I have like my main poses, like the picture I picked, it's the same picture that I took for the Good Girl Tour. It's the same one. It's the same pose. It's the same kind of look. I don't have a multitude of looks to choose from. It's I wish I was like an artist who doesn't show their face, like not Sia. I'm not talented enough to be Sia, but like, I just wish that I didn't have to like show my face all the time, but that's part of it, you know, like that you have to do these things and it's just so hard to do. And it's not getting better. You know, like I'm only going to age more. Anya was talking last night about seeing some show that Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman is in. And she said literally that Hugh Grant's face is just two giant crow's feet all the way down. And it's somehow very sexy and distinguished. And Nicole Kidman is so tight. There's no movement on her face. Like, and everyone can say, well, we didn't ask her to do that. I don't think she would have this role if she didn't do those things. If she
they
looked
could
like
use
Hugh,
her face to collect rainwater after a storm.
What do you
that's
mean?
How tight it is.
What, like why
a,
would it?
Like a stretch. That's how you, well, okay. That's how you collect rainwater.
Okay.
You stretch
that's a
out.
Survivalist.
It. Well, obviously
technique.
They stretch out like a piece of paper or tarp or something. And then the rainwater collects and then goes down into a little bucket.
Yes. But Anya and I were like, how did, Anya's like, I want to find out like how it got this way. Like, why is it this way that men get to be this way and women get to be this way? And I'm just like, it's both men and women contributing to this. Like we won't stand up. There's only like 3 of us, and myself not included, that are like, I'm not going to wear makeup anymore. I'm not going to dress like this. I'm going to wear what I want. But the rest of us are still, no one's strong enough to stop it. We can't get out of it. And she's like, maybe the next generation. I go, no, we're fucked.
No,
Sephora's
next generation is even worse.
Yeah, they're
because
worse.
The next generation, every picture, every time they're seen in the public light is usually on the internet where there's filters. And then they go out into the real world. They have to look like, not even themselves on camera. They look like a much worse version of what people are seeing on the internet because there's filters.
Oh,
yes.
A good point.
Yes. Hmm. The filters are killing me.
Yeah.
And there were some shots that I was like, oh, I want to take out my eye bags, but I'm really against like doing any of that stuff because not because I want to set an example for little girls and be like, this is what a real woman looks like. I just don't like to lie to myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't want, because then people will be like, Nikki, you're so beautiful. And I won't believe them because I know it's what I did to that picture. So it won't matter. Kendrick and it doesn't matter when people say I look beautiful. Everyone's like, you look so amazing at the Grammys. And I'm just like, as I always say, it's not real. Like, of course I do. There mm-hmm. was 5 hours. I had to pay literally $6,000 to look that good for hair, makeup, and styling, spray tan. It was approximately probably $5,200. Anyone should look good with that. And people go, no, it's not everyone. It's like, yes, they could. Because it's all, there was hair extensions, there was eyelid extensions, there was makeup, there was spray tan. Like it's so exhausting to do it all, but I don't know what to do. And it's only going to get worse. That's my fear, is that it just doesn't, I want to just do a massive dose of mushrooms or something to make my DMT. Brain not care.
Like, yeah, I feel like point,
that is the only
transition.
Way at this point is to get a lobotomy. I just like, I can't, because my face, my outside is never going to start getting younger and hotter. It's just not going to happen. What do I do? Because I watched this documentary about this guy named Boogie889 or something. He was like a YouTuber that did a bunch of like, do you know about this guy, Brian?
No, never
heard
of him.
He's like a gamer YouTuber. He was one of the first YouTubers.
I know Boogie732, but not 889.
He was making a bunch of money through YouTube, his channel where he would do live streaming and whatever. I don't know. Maybe Twitching or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he just started getting depressed, gaining a lot of weight, spending too much money than he had. And it's like, what was that?
That's it. I think it's just managing your depression.
Yeah.
And working through that. That's the only way that you'll be able to continue working in the industry and not care so much about.
Yeah, but
I guess not to care. You will care about your appearance because you present yourself well. And even at your shows, you've talked about like dressing up on stage so that people come and they come for like a show. And it's.
That's stuck with me too. That's why I wear my coat.
So I think just like it's the depression that is getting in your way because it's not the way you look in photos.
It's tough.
I have
for
a completely
Nikki.
Different opinion.
It's tough because Nikki's career has so far up to this point, a lot of it has been based on looks. Like you're a good looking comedian. You always dress up. You like this is a big part of your presentation.
Yes.
And so in order to get off of that, you'd have to like make a legitimate like pivot and be like, now I'm
and I won't.
Horrendous back woman, you know?
Sunburnt back lady.
I won't get off it. I mean, I have to eventually because we all age to a point of being pretty grotesque, but I think that I just need to do massive, like it does start with my brain. Like I know that I have a disease in my brain, which gets no respect, like in terms of like people with cancer, people with any kind of terminal physical illness, so much respect, so much pity, so much, oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah.
How could, there's nothing we can do, but you know, even though we can't do anything, like we're here to help you. Like everyone fucking gets it with cancer, but with depression, it seems like it's just your choice. You're choosing not to find someone you're choosing not to find the right treatment or whatever. It's just like, but it's
you
can't find the right
imbalance.
Treatment because the thing, like you're trying to fix a broken leg and they're telling you to go run somewhere to get the treatment.
Uh-huh.
So like you can't, if you have depression, it's hard to make doctor's appointments. It's hard. I just got my fucking meds filled today. I'm supposed to be on 60 milligrams of something. Guess what? It's 10 milligrams. I started crying. Cause I'm just like, it took me so much fucking effort to get this med and now it's worthless. Because he gave me 10 instead of 60. So I wrote an email to him being like, I don't know how I could have been clearer. I'm trying to be heard and understood by you. We knew it. We needed 60. I said I wanted 60. How did you give me 10? How are you making this more complicated for me when you're supposed to help me? What is the fucking point? It was so frustrating. But
did you say that?
Yeah. I didn't say fucking, but I just said, I wrote an email, so they haven't gotten back to me, but I'm just like, this, it's really hard for me to trust you from now on when I repeated 4 times, I think the 60 is best for me because I have a hard time filling it. Let's be honest. I take probably 20 to 30 a day of this medicine when I need it, but I empty out the 60s and I put them in water to be salt. It doesn't even matter. So I need the 60s to get me through because I can't fill these medications every fucking month because the Walgreens I go to,
because
first of all,
it's
this medicine,
controlled substance. It's that a controlled was so substance. Annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't get, like, I don't abuse it. I barely even take it. Like 30 days of 60 will get me through like literally 6 months. But now I have to now go to this tent. It just was so frustrating.
What is this, fentanyl?
Don't worry about it. I don't like to say because then people start commenting about like, you should be on this and I want to be on that. And they start having opinions and I don't need it. It makes you just want to give up.
You're on the right
path. Try
though.
To get help.
It's
and
one step at a time.
You weren't even listening. Yeah. Mm. And
you just can't have big expectations about managing depression. You just do one thing at a time and you just try.
Yeah.
I know that you like watching the crime documentaries and the end of the world stuff, but if you slowly eliminate things like that that create fear and anxiety in your head and just replace
that stuff
them.
Feels good to me. It's just false. Negativity.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know
if it makes you feel any better.
Going shopping would make me more depressed than watching a horror or a documentary about like a rape murder crime. Like that, I avoid stuff all the time that causes me depression. In terms of like not looking in mirrors, not looking at a photo shoot until a month and a half later. Like I have things in place where I know I'm instantly going to get depressed. Being around certain friends that are too perfect. Like I sometimes avoid certain friends because they trigger me to like hate myself. Like I try to like, and that's not a good thing that I do, but I have to do it because I know what will make me fall off the deep end. And I'm frustrated that depression just always seems like it's your fault. And like, you're not doing enough. And then when I try to do something, it's just so hard to do anything about it. I know that people can relate who are listening.
And we're so lucky because earlier in the show, we talked about our families not getting therapy and stuff. And it's like, if you think about growing up in your parents' time, they didn't even know what depression was. At least we know about
it. In Killers of the Flower Moon, this one guy has melancholy. And I was like, oh my God, someone representation. I was like, I have the melancholy. And he's like, he's been sad his whole life. And I'm like, me too. Like, it's so nice to hear about other people who suffer with it. So I think that's why I'm so open about it, because obviously I get people writing to me that also suffer with it. And then I get, it helps me to hear that other people have it. But I also know that it helps to hear that someone has it. But it's just like, I don't really have anyone in my close life that suffers with depression like I do, except Ian Fidance. I called him the other day because he always gets it. I can say the darkest shit and he's like, me too, man. Like, it's like, remember when I told Carlisle one time I was like, I think I'm just going to have to kill myself someday. And instead of being like supportive, she just goes, me too. it was hilarious. But Ian was really great the other day because he caught me and then he just started like bombarding me with calls and I was like not picking up because I'm like, I'm on a plane, Ian, I can't talk. And he's like, well, then I just pick up and just listen. And he just was being so wacky and so funny and really, really dark. And it helped me because he has gone there before and thought those things. So it was nice. But otherwise, it just seems like people are just like, just make your bed. Go for a walk.
Oh, yeah. Do stretches.
And it's like, that is all true.
Breathing
like that
exercises.
It is all true. Like those things do help. Like Noah's suggestions of like watching more positive things is honestly a good suggestion. And I will be more mindful of that stuff. But it's just, I just don't, I wish more people understood how bad it is. And I think that's why I try to, that's why like sometimes on girls chat or like even on here, I can say like really dark, fucked up things that make people go kind of go like, whoa. But it's like, how else are you supposed to show what is happening? Like I need to like kind of go like, this is how I actually feel. Like that, I honestly think it's why a lot of times people kill themselves. I think it's because people don't believe that they're in pain. And mm-hmm. if you kill yourself, what does everyone say? She must have been in so much pain. I can't, the pain she must be feeling must have been unimaginable. Why does no one have that said about them until after they kill themselves? No mm-hmm. one says, you know, she's on medication. She's going to a doctor. She must be in so much pain. She can't get out of bed today. Wow, she must be in so much pain. It's usually just like, oh, she's in one of her things. Like mm-hmm. People only get that kind of sympathy and understanding from the general public after they throw themselves from a hotel roof. Like yeah. it's only after that people go, wow, we had no idea. People are in quiet pain all over. And it's just like, well, maybe if we made it better, more okay to talk about that and we could empathize more. But I do think that's the root of why, like, I always say, yeah.
After they kill themselves, then that's an they can make that about them.
What
Whereas
do you mean?
If someone's depressed, they can't make that about them. But when someone kills themselves, then all of a sudden they can be like, oh my God, I had no idea they were in so much pain and I knew that person. And then it becomes like a little trophy for them to hold up. Whereas when someone's depressed, there's no yeah. ego that you can apply to that.
Well, because I'm not going to kill myself, but I talk about it a lot because I wish it was a thing that I could do more easily or like that I could do it and then come back again. You know, like there's a million reasons why I would never do it and I'm not going to do it. But sometimes I say I'm going to do it because I just want people to understand. And I don't want them to get worried and call the cops or whatever, but I just want mm-hmm. them. I get why people do it. I completely understand. Not only are you want the pain to stop, you want people to fucking get it, how miserable you are. Yeah, to be understood. And I think that's what a lot of depression is that people aren't understood. They don't feel understood. And mm-hmm. I think that's what draws me to comedy, honestly, is like because I get to talk into a microphone and be like, these are my feelings and you can't refute them by talking back or you'll get kicked out of here. So I wish it was helping more, but it's just been a rough patch recently. But it's not always this way. There's definitely... If you spend time with friends is good. If you talk about it a lot, if you listen to like when you're depressed, music sounds really good. Reaching out to other friends who are depressed has been very helpful for me. Like not just talking to friends who are doing well, because it's just hard when I don't want to call people when they're doing well. Like I have a couple people in my life right now who are really going through a sad time and it's been better for us to talk to each other. And yeah, so that stuff has been helping. And honestly, that Hannah's videos, if you're depressed out there, listen to that woman. She is like so nurturing, mother spirit, like so understanding of you being a little sad bitch. And I mean that with love. So I guess that's the end of the show.
Yeah, we'll be back next week.
All right. So I'm in Australia. I won't have stories from next week because we're still going to be doing pre-taped episodes, but we will be up to date pretty soon. But these are all new episodes. These aren't repeats. We just banked them beforehand. We worked really hard to do so. So I hope you enjoy them. I love you, besties. Dubika, and see you next week.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.